be ever acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Take a pew. It's been a while, hasn't it? We all know that we are in the Easter season, or Eastertide. But in our year, what does this period mean? Well, I think of it in the church year as this bridging or crossing over of the time from our Lord's resurrection that when we're able to move into the time of the ministry after our Lord's earthly ministry. And as with any bridge, it's not an instant change, but a movement from one side to the other, or one phase to the other. And how fast we cross that bridge depends on us and on how big the bridge is. In today's readings, we see two of the main protagonists of the Jesus movement, our fledgling Christian community, Peter and Paul, taking that bridge to their new reality. For those of you who have heard me preach a few times, you'll know that I have rather definite opinions about these two. It may come as a shock that I have an affinity with Paul. Decisive, in-your-face, worker-priest type. What? You could smile. Peter, on the other hand, well, bless. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. However, in both cases, it shows how our Lord is very much in the habit of picking people who on the surface, you have to shake your head and say, why him? But nothing is black or white, is it? And whilst we may appreciate that we think we know the characters, especially in relationship to ourselves, sometimes we get set back on our heels. And today's readings from Acts and John do that for me. Let's start with Paul. We all know of Paul's dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. A zealot against the Jesus movement becomes a zealot for the Jesus movement. Our Lord stops Paul in his tracks and makes him blind. Then, after a pretty short period of blindness, allowing for a serious reflection, Paul is back in his very familiar track, but 108 degrees in the opposite direction. As Acts goes on to say from today's reading, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying he was the Son of God. His forceful personality is still there. His hard-working ethos is still there. It's just channeled in a completely opposite direction. This, of course, is very much to the benefit of those communities that received the word of Christ from him, like the Corinthians, or the Galatians, or the Philippians, or the Thessalonians. Yes, you go, boy. You just run over that bridge. On the other hand, we join Peter in today's gospel on the shore of Lake Tiberias. And notwithstanding the fact that he's had the benefit of walking with our Lord for 3 years and has already seen the risen Christ twice, he just wants to go fishing. And I'm not talking about fishing for people here. I'm talking about gone fishing. You can see him standing on the shore, feeling very confused, maybe even abandoned by our Lord. He's not yet got what he's supposed to be doing. So he says to his buddies, "I'm going fishing. Want to come?" In today's reading, Peter gets a third visit from our Lord to push him a bit further over the bridge to his new reality. We read their back and forth. Three times we have variations of, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And three times we get a Peter response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." To which Jesus says back to Peter, either, "Tend my sheep or feed my sheep." That's Jesus speak for, "Peter, what are you doing going fishing? How many times do I have to teach you, tell you, show you? Get out there and spread the word of my salvation." But even then, it's not really until Pentecost that Peter actually launches into his full ministry. It's not until then that he actually crosses over his bridge. Now, the question at this point is, did Peter not get it? Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Or was he obfuscating the whole thing, putting it off till tomorrow because, to be honest, the whole thing was giving him the heebie-jeebies? So is it any surprise that I have an affinity with Paul and look rather patronizingly at Peter? But the question is, should I? Why not? I have been decisive in following our Lord, just as Paul was, and bear no resemblance to Peter's agonizing, questioning, lack of understanding, or sheer obfuscation. Whoa, hold on a minute, Powell. Who do you think you're trying to kid? Well, I must be kidding myself, because I doubt if I'm kidding anybody else. Truth be told, my journey responding to the call of our Lord has been far more Peter than Paul. Some of you are aware of my call back in 2005 at St. Mark's in Bermuda. In brief, I was made metaphorically blind for a few days. In my case, it was simply a stunned mental fog. And then I spent a good 6 months in the "shall we, shan't we go to the dance?" Each time I put up a great roadblock to ordination, the Holy Spirit deftly placed it aside, until in the end I just had to give up. With the words of my old priest in Bermuda ringing in my ears when he told me, "Wriggle all you like, sunshine. He's hooked you and you don't stand a chance." So at this point, you're sitting there saying to yourself, "That's nice, but what's it got to do with me?" As we move from the intense high of Easter Sunday closer towards ordinary time, what are you, what will you be left with? How long will your fire burn about the resurrection? And what will you do about it? How long will it take you to cross over your bridge? Are you feeling all Paulish, ready to immediately pick up your load for the long haul, ready to get out into the world and feed the sheep? Or are you feeling more Peterish? You've had your resurrection high, and now it's, well, what's next? Where am I going? Or, of course I love you. Let's go fishing. It's really hard to say, damn the torpedoes, and throw yourself into our Lord's ministry as Paul did. Some would even say foolhardy. Paul said that himself. He said it to the Corinthians when he said, we are fools for the sake of Christ. So yes, it's hard. And even when you want to, there are many roadblocks. Some we put there ourselves, even if we don't realize it, and some the world puts there. There are temptations a many. It's easy for us to say, oh, let's just go fishing. You don't have to tell me. Let me be clear here. I'm not talking about bridges to ordained ministry, as important as that is. That just happened to be my bridge. No, I'm talking about the vast majority of our ministries that are lay-led. What's it going to be in the end is really down to you. So, what's it going to be? Feeding sheep or gone fishing? Amen.